In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Paul goes to great lengths, as we hear him this morning, emphasizing that the gospel that he teaches is not a gospel that he was taught. He doesn't claim that he was taught this gospel on the road when Jesus Christ came to him, as Jesus was with all of the other apostles. He also was with St. Paul, later and out of time, as he says somewhere else. He doesn't say that Jesus gave him a secret teaching. He says that he was not taught. That includes Christ himself. He says he was not taught by the apostles. He was not taught by others. He says that the gospel of Jesus Christ comes by his revelation. He doesn't say that the gospel is revealed to him by Jesus Christ, that he has some teaching that we should listen to. He says that the revelation came by Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ himself is the revelation. He is the good news. He makes a difference. The world is different after he came. The world is different after he tramples down the power of death over us. We are able to live in a way that we had not been able to live before. In the story of Lazarus and the rich man, at the end of the story, it is pled of God that someone be sent for the sake of the brothers and sisters of the rich man. And the rich man claims that if someone comes to them who knows that they will live differently. But the moral of that parable is that even if someone rose from the dead, they would not be believed. It's not about the teaching. It's about the difference that Christ's coming makes. The difference that it makes that God comes into the world and unites himself to our humanity and restores our humanity and enables us to live in the way that we were created to live from the beginning. The fear of death is wiped out, and we are enabled to live from God's goodness, from his love, from his power, forgive with his forgiveness, love with his love. That's the difference. That's how things are different. There is even at one point in the Gospel according to St. Luke a place where Jesus explains this, or at least prepares the apostles to understand it after the resurrection. Jesus is trying to get them ready for the next big event at that point. And the next big event is going to be that he is going to be taken and crucified. And he tells them, for a little while you will see me, and after a little while you will not see me. And you will suffer and you will undergo pain. And they say to themselves, what is he talking about? We don't understand what he's saying. And he realizes that they don't understand. And he asks them, are you asking amongst yourselves what it means when I say a little while, and you'll see me, and after a little while you won't see me? And that's exactly what they're talking about. And he explains to them, not by giving a direct answer, but by again preparing them for what's going to happen. For his being taken from them, for his being crucified, for his death. And the way he prepares them is this. He says, when a woman is in travail, she is in pain, and she cries out in her suffering. But when the child is born, there is joy, and the pain is forgotten because a man has been born into the world. And that, he is saying, is how this will be. You will undergo the pain of my loss. You will suffer the misery of not being with me. You will suffer the fact that you betrayed me. You will suffer all of these things. But these things, like childbirth, have to happen if mankind, male and female, are going to be reborn so that the life that God gave us at the beginning of time can be lived. That life is going to be reborn into the world. And the suffering of the cross and the suffering of the dying on the cross that Jesus is going to undergo, and the suffering of the apostles because of that dying on the cross. They're sharing in that loss because of that work that God is doing on the cross. Our life will be reborn into the world. When we are baptized into that new life, so that we might live the sons and daughters of the Most High. That's what Jesus prepares the apostles to understand after the resurrection. All these things have to happen in order that this new life be brought into the world. Now I speak in parables, he says at that point, but the time will come when I will tell you about the Father, and no longer speak in parables. Chrysostom points out to us that he means after the resurrection. After the event that makes all the difference occurs. Before that time, all he can do is try to teach them by way of parables. And he does a lot of that kind of spiritual teaching during his ministry. But when it comes to why he has come and what he is going to do and the difference that it's going to make, he can't explain that. It can't be explained until after it's happened, because anything that he says would simply be a teaching, simply be words. And we are not given teaching. We are not given words. We are given God become man, as Father Biantoro said just a few weeks ago. We are not given a book. God does not become a book. God becomes a man. God takes on our humanity. And until Jesus does in our humanity what he has come to do, until he dies on the cross and destroys the power of death and arises from the dead, there will be no way that he can tell them. Because he is himself the message. He is the gospel. And the gospel, that good news, is his resurrection in our humanity. A humanity and a resurrection that we can share. That is the gospel. That's the gospel that St. Paul received. That's the gospel that makes all the difference. And there is no teaching that can substitute for that. We either receive that or we have no idea of what has been revealed. It has been revealed that we are meant to live from God's forgiveness. We are meant to live from God's love of others. Ask these things in my name, he says, as he's explaining these things to them, as Jesus is explaining these things to them. He says, so far you have not asked anything in my name, but then you will ask in my name, and whatever you ask, you will receive. And as unbelievable as it is, some people point to that passage and advise others to use Jesus' name to ask for things of this world. It's beyond belief. But I myself have heard it. What do they call it? There's an expression for it. Don't tell me. You know, you're expected to ask for the things of the world and God will give them to you. On the basis of this time, this point at which Jesus is explaining to his apostles something that is earth-changing, earth-shattering, that leaves our love of the things of the world behind. Well, what is he talking about? After the crucifixion and resurrection, after the resurrection of our humanity at one with God, after Jesus the Christ has restored our communion with God the Father, we will be able to say that prayer that he teaches to the disciples. And it will be based on the change that Christ has made in our relationship to God. Our Father. Our Father. Whose Father? The Father of the Lord Jesus the Christ. He can call God the Father, and that is the truth. And after his resurrection, once we unite ourselves to him, we too can call God our Father because of our oneness with Christ, because he has made it possible for us to unite ourselves to God through his humanity, dying to the world and living in him. As St. Paul says, it is no longer I who live, but he who lives in me. At the time Jesus is talking to them, they cannot. But once Jesus has accomplished all that, then we will be able to ask in his name. Well, what does that mean? Jesus even explains it further. He says, it's not that I will pray to the Father for you. And so Jesus Christ himself especially and explicitly rejects the idea that he is somehow the one who was fully God and fully man, who ascends to sit on the right hand of the Father. And if we ask him, he will ask the Father, and the Father will give things to us. Jesus specifically rejects that. He says, it is not that I will pray to the Father for you. The Father himself loves you, he says. And because you have loved me, because you unite yourself to me, he will respond in my name. Because you have loved me and united yourself to God through our common humanity and the fact that we are created to live from God's holiness and not from this world, certainly not from any capacity of our own, for those reasons, God will respond. God the Father will respond to us as sons and daughters and will give us the things we ask. Not Airstream trailers and, you know, the things of the world, but to ask and receive that which we can receive only from the Father. Life. Love. Love of others. We think that it's been put on us to have some kind of responsibility to love others from our own abilities and our own capacities. Love your enemies. How are we going to do that? I'm having difficulty forgiving my enemies. Maybe you are ready to repent, to turn toward God, to unite yourself to God through his incarnate Son, Jesus the Christ, and learn to love others with God's own love, because there is no other source of eternal love, only God. We are meant to love one another with God's love, not with our own little worldly substitution for that. And none of those things are possible until after the crucifixion and resurrection, until after the destruction of the power of death over us has been accomplished. And then the message is revealed, the risen Christ, who appears to the apostles, and all is comprehended, because the message is the resurrected Christ. And it is the resurrected Christ who comes to St. Paul. I have not been taught. The revelation has been through Jesus the Christ. Jesus Christ is the revelation. And if you carefully read through the rest of the passages we heard this morning from St. Paul, in the light of the things that we've just said, you will understand why Paul emphasizes this the way he does. I was not taught by the apostles. I went to the Arabian desert for 3 years, and then to Damascus, and then went back, and saw only Peter and James, the brother of the Lord. And the point is not that St. Paul's teaching stands on its own. It's important for us not to miss the fact that St. Paul's teaching, and St. Peter's teaching, and St. John's teaching, and St. James' teaching, it's all the same teaching. Because it all comes from the knowledge of the risen Christ. The content of their teaching is the same. It's not about Christ. Their teaching, the gospel, Peter, James, John, and Paul, their teaching is Jesus the Christ himself, the revelation of the risen Lord, in whose life we are able to live and be the full human beings that God created us to be from the beginning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.